China is a huge country. It's actually the size of North America, including Canada, Alaska, and Mexico. It also has an enormous population, 1.3 billion people, and a variety of cultures and languages and even religions, but predominantly Han Chinese. It's a fascinating, complex, long history. I taught a six-hour course at NMC on it, and I spent the first 3 hours on the first 4,500 years, and then the second 3 hours on the last 100 years. So it's really an amazing place to think about and to study. Yeah.
You know, I think 20 years ago, we really thought of it as a very far away, distant place where cheap goods are manufactured for our use. How is it that we have to reshape our thinking?
China is going through a huge transformation. Really about 25 years ago, they began to change their policy. They're still a very much a communist-dominated dictatorship politically, but economically, 25 years ago, they became effectively an open economy. And now they're a member of the World Trade Organization. They're the fastest-growing economy in the world. They'll be the biggest economy in the world in a few more years. Now, that's very significant in terms of comparing it to the United States. They'll be bigger, a bigger economy than ours. But there's four times as many people. So their per capita income will be about a quarter of ours. So they've still got a long way to go to bring everybody up to a decent level.
And as the conference title says, competitor?
Competitor or partner, we have an option here. We have a choice. We could turn China into the new source of conflict in the world in our minds, first of all, just as the Cold War turned Russia into our enemy. They were indeed an expansionist power. China is quite different. They do not have an ideology anymore because they're not trying to sell communism to anyone, but they are an economic powerhouse. Now, that's a huge opportunity for us if we want to make them into our partner. And that's the trick. That's the trick, is to avoid letting our entanglements around the world or our fears turn China into an adversary, which is not necessary in my mind.
We just happened to be talking about this right after the president gave a big speech on foreign affairs, and he mentioned that we don't have foes like we did in the Cold War. What are some pitfalls that we need to avoid as a nation to stay that way?
Well, we have to have a clear policy and a clear message that we're sending out to the world. We have to be for things. We have to be for democracy and human rights, and there China has a long way to go. We have to be promoting confidence building in Asia so that China doesn't just plunk down an oil well in the middle of potential oil fields, but rather negotiates with its neighbors about doing that. There are ways to solve problems like this. Way up in the Arctic, we and the Soviet Union, in the worst of times, with Canada and other northern countries, figured out a way to carve up the potential oil in the Arctic. And that can be done in the East and South China Seas, very, very much like we've done it before. It's a matter of confidence building measures, and right now those are absent. There are a lot of potential conflict areas. China and Japan have a rather hostile relationship right now. There are claims, competing claims between the Philippines, China, and Vietnam, and we're not in the middle of those, but we can teach them how various political tools can be used to keep those things on the political level and not turn into military confrontations. We do have conflicts with China, and we shouldn't sugarcoat those. Right now we have wanted posters up for Chinese military people who are stealing our secrets. Now they reply, well, you're stealing our secrets, so it's only fair. They are very aggressive at using the internet to gather information, and this is something we have to talk to them about. We also have concerns about pollution in China. One advantage that we have is the products that we're selling in China today are less polluting than their domestic products. The biggest example is at our conference, we have Dr. Mustafa Mahataram. He's the chief economist at General Motors and the architect of the GM strategy in China. They thought they would sell a couple million cars a year. They sold 13 million cars last year, and they're investing billions of more dollars in building new factories, and they're going to be buying parts here in Michigan for many of those vehicles that they're building in China. And then another big area is agricultural. They are looking for supplies of cherries, blueberries, and wine. And they are even interested in buying vineyards. So we have to first learn the market. We have to learn from these experts how to get into the market and then figure out how to profitably for both sides find a way to make a deal with these Chinese visitors. So it's a huge opportunity. And last but not least, on the cultural side, we've got fantastic exhibits that will be taking place at the Denos Museum. And a real opportunity to see some very special photography done in China by Chinese and Americans who are living there. And also on Saturday, there's an additional event, which will be learn how to cook real Chinese food. And that's separate from our event, our International Affairs Forum event, but it's linked to it with one of the top chefs coming from China to teach Americans, a small group, about 30, how to cook real Chinese food. That should be a lot of fun.